Those are the causes. And so it's like today we're going to spend some time on tail-bearing because it is what causes leprosy. And it is idolatrous to ask God to fix you when you refuse His way. Now let me see if I can make this understandable. God, through His Son, by one offering, has perfected you forever. Not only has He perfected you forever, He's perfected everyone else forever, from His perspective. So therefore, if your mind takes and says, no, there is something wrong with X, then by definition, you have contacted leprosy because you've denied the finishedness. If you then tell somebody else vis-a-vis tail-bearing, then you spread the leprosy. Do I need to go into all kinds of details, or do you understand?
One thing that hits me is the word perfected. When we hear it, we have our own concept of what perfect means, and we try to interpret that scripture by our understanding of perfect. We have to go to the ugly, because from God's point of view, it's a completely different concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. All right, there are different words for tale-bearer or slanderer. But basically, let me just go through some stuff from many years of study. A tale-bearer, and again, remember, the predicate of God's mystery is it's finished. And for us, it has to be finished in every possible dimension. And wherever we look and see that it's not finished, or we think something is wrong, or we think God has forsaken the earth, then we must immediately revenge that disobedience by bringing that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We can't allow that thought to continue. And believe it or not, leprosy is directly related to the snake, to the serpent. It is said that the serpent, his bite is like that of the leper or like that of the tail-bearer, because by the bite, one bite on one part of the body, the poison spreads forever throughout it. Or by biting somebody in by the bite of the serpent or the fang of the serpent, you can kill somebody halfway around the world. Now, there are three that are destroyed by tail-bearing. One is the person that speaks it. Two is the person that hears it. And three is the person that it's spoken about. It is directly related on a one-to-one basis with leprosy. We can see this if we look back at Miriam when her hand became leprous because she repeated the tail-bearing. A slanderer has no place in the world to come. A slanderer is the same as a murderer because both have shed blood. There's my favorite one in the Talmud is, all slanderers and tale-bearers are wicked and stupid. Flogging was the most common punishment for tale-bearing. In some cases, fines were pretty substantial fines were assessed. It says a person who insults a scholar is liable for banishment for a time, called nidu, as well as a fine payable to the one insulted. And any scholar that was put to shame through talebearing was awarded 35 gold dinars. Mistreating widows and orphans through talebearing, God will hear their cry, and his anger will blaze forth, and he'll put you to the sword. It is irrelevant whether the words of the talebearer are true or not. The punishment remains the same. Which is huge. Talebearers jeopardized the entire community. They were therefore regarded as particularly vicious. They were placed in the same category as those who commit assault with the intent to kill. In the 19 prayers, the daily Amida or Amida, the 18 prayers, excuse me. One of the daily prayers was, and for the talebearer, let there be no hope. Now, that's good news, if you can hear it. Now, what is talebearing? What is gossip? What is slander? God said slander was to deny what he said was true. And so if I deny what he said was true, then the talebearing, or that's slander, then the repeating of that is slander. So he accused the spies who just saw with their eyes when they sent the 12 spies into the promised land, 10 of the 12, they agreed, the land floweth of milk and honey, the fruit is great, but there are giants in the land. Those that said, the 10 that said there were giants in the land were talebearers and slanderers. And it was as if they murdered the entire community.
The thing about that is that, like you said earlier, it's true, we're giants in the land. That's the thing about this.
Throughout the scriptures, about every 40 years in the Old Testament, which happened for our benefit, remember, talebearing was rife among them. How then can they be ripe for salvation? The rabbi here said, now I know the cause of their bondage. If one dog barks, all the others gather around and bark also for no purpose. That's what they say, the talebearing. You sit around and, you just love it. Because you can find someone that agrees with your leprosy and your slander. And so, the fundamental thing that happened was you denied his perfection. You denied it's finished. And then when you, because you judge somebody down, so then you... Anybody understand?
Does it work the same way judging somebody up, or is it mostly just judging down?
Doesn't matter. One of the famous rabbis said, never in my life have I, after hearing gossip, repeated it to the person being spoken of. Says, for two things the Torah makes no atonement, yet the Torah makes atonement. For the unintentional manslaying and for talebearing. How is talebearing atoned for? It's atoned for by the sound of the golden bells on Aaron's robe. This sound makes atonement because it drowns out the noise. Psalms, in the Psalms, there's this great story which, you know, I guess I better read it. This is all talking about the law of the leper. Because again, leprosy throughout the scriptures, throughout the Talmud, throughout all of the ancient writings, leprosy was the fruit of talebearing. All right. And it says in Numbers 12, when it's talking about Miriam, you know, and her, when she and Aaron spoke against Moses, and her hand was leprous. This shall be the law of the leper. This alluded to what is written. Who is the man that desireth life? In Psalm 34. This may be compared to the case of the peddler who used to go around the towns in the vicinity of Sepphoris, crying out, "Who wishes to buy the elixir of life?" And he drew great crowds around him. Rabbi Jannai was sitting and expounding in his room, and he heard him calling out, "Who desires the elixir of life?" And the rabbi said to him, "Come here and sell me it." And the peddler said, "Neither you nor your people, nor people like you, require that which I have to sell." The rabbi pressed him, and the peddler went up to him and brought out the book of Psalms and showed him the passage, "Who is the man that desireth life?" And what is written immediately thereafter, "Keep thy tongue from evil and depart from evil and do good." And Rabbi Jannai said, "Solomon too proclaims, 'Who keepeth his soul and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble.'" Rabbi Jannai said to the peddler, "All my life I have been reading this passage, but I did not know it was to be explained until this hawker, this peddler, came and made it clear. It is for the same reason that Moses addressed a warning to Israel, saying to them, 'This shall be the law of the leper.'" I.e., one, the law that gives currency to one relating an evil report. Again, the cure for leprosy, the cure for talebearing, are the Psalms, according to the Midrash. For 10 sins does leprosy come upon the nation. Oh, wait, but let's go back up. This is related directly to the eating of the manna. When the manna was eaten, it provided and fulfilled every desire of the heart, unless there was idolatry or guilt. If there was idolatry or guilt, then the manna was bitter and talebearing proceeded. So, for 10 reasons does leprosy come upon the nation. For idol worship, for gross unchaste chastity, for bloodshed, for the profaning of God's name, for blasphemy of God's name, for robbing the public, for usurping a dignity, for overweening pride, for talebearing, and for greediness. Am I communicating?
Yeah, I was thinking of it says that they the manna was bitter because, you know, their
guilt and idolatry.
Yeah, and so because they weren't able to be satisfied with the manna, then that's the basis of why you would go around and tell her you're accusing people and passing it on. And all
that. Right, that's exactly right. Right, and that then is the that is how leprosy is spread. Does it touch anybody? Anybody beginning to understand the evil of talking about other people?
Yeah, I was also thinking that we've been discussing Shannon, the because they, I think they had to go to the hospital Tuesday night for some reason. I don't know if anybody knows what became of that. But, you know, it's like everything's perfect. You know, looking at Shannon is the same way in relation to looking at
anything else.
You might look at and say, you know, this, these people are all screwed up. And it's, I don't know, somehow I just put those two together while you were
talking
about that and was convicted.
One of the famous prayers is, preserve us from those who are addicted to tail-bearing. Now, why could somebody be... I mean, you've seen the Yentl, you know, the gossip mongers. I mean, we all of us have seen it. That's all they can do. Because their soul is so barren, and their famine is so great, that the only thing that gives them sustenance is eating dirt back to the snake. It's like getting sustenance and satisfaction from what you do. You're so hungry you eat your garments. If you're even more famished and you go around talking about people and you're addicted to it, that means you don't even, you're so famished that you eat even the very dirt of the universe. You eat your children for a while until they all eaten up. That's why it's so critical to understand the afkumen, the communion. But by this and this alone gain I sustenance and satisfaction and worth. I don't need anything else. This is when he talks about, my soul is among lions, whose tongue is as a sharp sword. Remove thy presence from their midst. They are tail-bearers because they are idolaters. And therefore leprosy is manifest. I watch this program. It came on channel, I think it was channel 5. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, the whole thing was nothing but gossip. It was just it was showing what different celebrities were doing and what their secrets were. I mean, and this is in fact what got me on this. Because I remembered how tail-bearing is real, and we all do it, and we've got to stop it. We've got to see. Anybody else have any response to this? Is this hitting anybody?
Yeah, I was thinking of the list you read. It's an uncomfortable list to hear, because in some respect, I'm guilty of every one of them to some degree, but, and yet it's not something that's in my forefront of my consciousness. And if I alter my heart to it, I'm one of the
reasons. When you said idolaters are tailbearers, and it's like there's a connection there, it must be talking about just any time that when you worship an idol, you're saying that God isn't who he says he is. And therefore, you're spreading a slander about God. And so it's all tied together. It's weird.
You know, every time, we don't do it every time, but this reminds me of the time when you had that situation there once before with Jerry King.
Okay.
Behind all that was what you were talking about, slander and gossip and tail-bearing.
Slander and tail-bearing come from the tongue of the serpent.
Here's what's hard to believe. It's true, but it's hard to take is what John said about if there's idolatry or guilt, then the manna doesn't satisfy, it's bitter. So then the response is tail-bearing. But that's hard to believe, because you're tail-bearing because this person did something, or this didn't, and there's some problem. It's hard to get to realize that whether there is or isn't a problem is irrelevant. The point is that there's something amiss at the core.
No, but hear me. The only reason that you see that there is a problem,
right? That's what
it is, because
right, because you have either idolatry has been come against or guilt.
Right,
and that's a hard thing to believe.
It's because we're judging perfection. We have an idea of what perfection is,
but it's true.
Those who were redeemed from Egypt were redeemed on account of four things. They did not change their names. They did not adopt the Egyptian names. They did not adopt the Egyptian language. They did not go about tail-bearing, and they were not found to be guilty of this, the gross immorality, which really is the two that they call the gross immorality are incest and adultery. Now again, you've got to see that these are from the Midrash or the Talmud or many other places, but all of them ended up guilty of all of those. Only two that were redeemed made it into the promise. Joshua, the type of Christ, and Caleb, the type of the best you and I can be, the friend of the bridegroom. And so there were maybe 6 million people. There were somewhere between 3 and 6 million people that left Egypt because they failed. The plagues hit them. They understood the plagues. They wandered in the wilderness. They yelled and screamed and shouted and complained. And of those 6 million, only two. Now, I think in terms of the mystery of as revealed in the flood. Some scholars say there were 25 million people on the earth at the time of Noah. Only 8 made it into the ark. Now, I'm not talking, and it was only, it wasn't the 8 that are the important. It was the fact that the ark was what was important. The ark is a type of Christ, and we are saved from the flood of the human race, where the Antichrist is coming out of the water. Now, we are in the ark, or as we study in Revelation, we are under the altar because we've been slain, we've been voluntary, we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice. We have no agenda of our own. And so it's always only, really, only one that's saved. It's only one that makes it. And the promises of God go really to only one. There's only one for which there is no slander, for which there is no tail-bearing, for which there is no leprosy, for which he's fulfilled every possible condition. And that one is the seed. That one seed is Christ. And so anything that comes up in you, the only response to it isn't to try to correct it. The only response is deeper and deeper and deeper, leaving yourself behind. Everybody understand that? But you cannot excuse anything less than his perfection. The minute you justify it by any subtle way, then the garment is spotted by the flesh again. the punishment right after Miriam's leprosy was, and it said, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people in Numbers 21. Why did the Lord send serpents? Because the serpent, who was the first to speak slander, had been cursed, and they did not learn a lesson from him. The Holy One therefore said, let the serpent, who was the first to introduce slander, come and punish those who are speaking slander. And this great scripture in Ecclesiastes, which we never understand, whosoever breaketh through the fence, a serpent shall bite him. Now, the fence, according to the ancients, we have a double fence. We have the fence of our lips and the fence of our teeth. And we've cast down our imaginations and every high place and every thought that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, against this perfection. So that it's interesting that they say that the fence that is being broken through here is a double fence, your lips and your teeth. But you break through it when you speak slander, when you gossip, when you're a talebearer. And whoever breaks through, the serpent will bite the one who has broken through and the one who listens and the one who has been spoken about, unfortunately. They are called fiery serpents because they burn the soul. Somebody go to Isaiah 65.
This ties into me and what you talked about yesterday, the cup of Jesus.
Read Isaiah 65, verse 17 to 25.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall no more thence, and there shall be no more thence, an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. The child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat.
Okay. The new heaven and the new earth has been there since the foundation of time itself. And it's always there. It is always our surrounding reality. We don't have to go any place. That's why Christ we said in Matthew 24, if you see that somebody says, there is Christ, or there is Christ, he's really saying, if you hear somebody say, there is the anointing, or there is the anointing, don't believe him. Don't go. Because your very veryness, wherever you are in the new heaven. You are walking on the new earth. That is the mystery of God. Now, the reason this is so important, in that new mystery there's neither male nor female, bond or free, young or old, Greek or Jew. There's nothing, because there's a new creation, a new thing, a new race, if you will. But in the old one, it's going to continue as always. Thus shall be the serpent's meat. Now it says, and it's interesting, it says, even if the serpent eats all the daintiest things in the world, his food changes instantly into his mouth, in his mouth, to dust. no matter what it is, even if it's the diamonds and brilliant sapphires and it's gold and it's whatever you think that you want, it's in the serpent's mouth. It's dust, because that's all a serpent can eat. This is why you have to understand, he wasn't using some offhanded metaphor that was just a play on words when he said, you generation of serpents, are you sons of the snake? That's all a snake can do, is eat dust. That's all a snake can do, is spread slander. The snake isn't going to improve. Now for us, and because we eat even a better manna than that which came down from the sky, we eat the manna that came from eternity, which is the life and the flesh and the bread of the Son of God. And these people, no matter what it is, no matter, by eating that one, then every possible heart's desire is fulfilled. If there's something that you want, or something that you think you must have, or some place you think you must go, or something that you think you must change, it indicates either guilt or idolatry, because it's keeping you from seeing the fulfilled mystery. Now, and if you're addicted to judging down and then telling people about it, it's not because there's no cure for it. You can't cure it by saying, "Well, I'm going to stop talking to other people about people." The only cure for it is the blood of Christ to rid you from guilt, so you don't have to judge anybody anymore, and the eating of this mystery manna, which fulfills every heart's desire, and there's no more. You don't want anything. There's nothing in the world that you can attract you, and it doesn't matter how little or big it is. But can you see the reason I'm going to all this? Can you see the relationship to talebearing and gossip to leprosy? And how it all ties together.
So the manna turns to dust in the serpent's mouth.
The serpent was asked, "What benefit do you receive from biting?" He replied, "Instead of asking me, ask those who engage in slander. As it is said, surely this serpent will bite without cause. Neither is there profit for the slanderer." Another question. "How is it you bite only one limb and yet your poison spreads to the whole body?" He replied, "Instead of asking me, ask the slanderer, who though in Rome slays his brother by slander in Syria. Although the generation that left Egypt were given the promised land, they could not enter because of slander. And though Israel had been commanded to build a temple upon entering at the time of Ezra, it was not built in their days because of slander." So instead of any of the slander, of any of the negative thoughts, of any thought that says something isn't finished, love your neighbor as yourself. That's your only job. Job, 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 job.
Where are you off this thing?
Yeah. I'm going to kill you.
There's no place to go. I mean, it backs you into a corner, and all you can do is surrender, because you know, you hear the first part of it and start out going, dang, you know, this is right. I'm gonna quit doing that. And then it's like, then the log continues to, it like comes down like fallout or something, and eventually just kills you. You know,
man,
it's just a weird way that works. All these laws are overlapping. You know, you've got idolatry overlapping with slander overlapping. There's no way out of it.
And so therefore, when it talks about healing, the healing is so total, so complete. Not fixing a broken arm or something, or healing a burned hand, or delivering you from some bad habit. Gary, you're something. You're doing something.
Something's
different. I'm just seeing how there's not one molecule of my existence that can exist in the kingdom of God. I wrote, it's kind of like what John was saying. He talked about slander and gossip specifically, but they just really brought up everything. And I'm a dumb dude. Right. I can't make it.
Can you understand now? I got upset at you the other day when you said, I just have to admit I like to eat dust.
No, I think that's true. That's a true confession.
I understand that, but it's only half the mystery.
I can't get to the other half without being honest about this.
I understand that, but I'm saying to you that if there has to be another, there's something else after that.
Pressing and pressing.
Sure.
There's
a
pressing, and that's why I press you so hard.
Sure. Yeah, but now once I've said that I see myself for what I am.
A snake.
And I can loathe myself truthfully, not just because the words say I should, because now I've said it and it's true and I know it, and I can truly repent because I have no cure. I cannot fix any part of it.
Remember Job. He went through all of what he went through. And then finally in Job 22 he said, or 42, I mean, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself, and repent in sackcloth and ashes. To repent in sackcloth and ashes is an incredible statement. It's not just putting some burlap on your bag, on your body, and putting an ashes in your forehead. It means that you, when he said, I abhor myself and I repent, it means that you see with everything in you that you deserved to be that animal that was slain and the animal, the carcass that was burned so that nothing existed. There's no place, no stand then.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm righteous because I've been burned up. Well, that's good.
That's repentance with no agenda. Like a lot of people repent, say, oh, I better repent so that I can get back into the good grace of God or something. That's repentance.
Yeah, and it's the same kind of thing as the baptism of John. But when he took them across the Jordan, and by leaving the promised land and going across the river, they were saying, we are not worthy to be in the kingdom of God. And then rebirth really happens.
You're talking, I was seeing a picture of lifting up the serpent.
We got it. There's a whole bunch of that.
Yeah, but that's the only, you know, that's the only thing that can not only, you know, take care of the slander, but actually, you know, atone for the whole effects of it.
Yeah.
Which is the fiery serpents or anything. People were healed when they saw that they were crucified. They saw Christ.
Well, but they saw it was them on the cross.
I'm the snake, and there I am.
I am the snake.
There's just no money in this message. Oh, this thing I call it. Pissed me off. Taking this great stuff and then turning it into cash.
Ken, any response? Bojo?
There are some of these things we talk about every once in a while. There are things that you can actually really know through experience. And what you said this morning about everything, it turns to dust. I know that through experience. I know what that means, and I know it's true.
All right, take it, big guy.